Welcome to episode 47 of the Minutes with the Mayor podcast. This is your benevolent and beloved mayor of Reseda, California, Derek Montilla. Thank you guys so much for joining us for another week of news and nonsense. And joining me once again, as always, my co-host, my deputy mayor, America's sweetheart, Mark Rios.
Hola. So,
how are you feeling, man? Still tired?
Yeah, traveling kind of killed me. But yeah, I'm starting to catch up on sleep during the day and stuff, but work's kind of killing that.
You're making towns, son. You're making towns.
Yeah, that's what's worth it.
And that's actually exactly what I wanted to talk about this week. Mark was in Orlando for the Mae Young Classic, the amazing women's tournament that's getting all sorts of talk from people within the wrestling world. They had some great names that ended up being in the tournament, and our very own Mr. Rios was there being America's sweetheart in front of his sweethearts, and we're going to chat about that today because I love tournaments. I love what WWE has done with their previous two on the network. I thought the UK tournament was fantastic, and I thought the Cruiserweight Classic was fantastic. They both were different in their own rights, and I think that they did a great job with that, and I'm very excited to see how this Mae Young Classic plays out. Now, I want to preface this by saying, one, we are not going to sit here and go through all of the competitors in the tournament because there are entirely too many. There are many that we don't know and aren't familiar with, and that would just be a ridiculously long podcast. And two, this is a sucker-free, spoiler-free podcast. So Mark, despite the fact that he knows more than we will ever know about the Mae Young Classic, is not going to give us too many spoilers. Though there might be some information when he talks about, I'm guessing, who kind of stood out in the tournament might give a little information. But aside from that, we are not going to talk winners and losers, and we are not going to talk about who walked away with this tournament. So, but Mark, man, what let's start off with your overall thoughts, man. How did you think that this tournament went, and especially being the first tournament WWE's done that you actually attended?
I think it went pretty fantastic. I think really, if I had, like, there wasn't really much bad matches. I think, like, once you got past the first round, like, it really hit the ground. It was fire. And even in the first round, there wasn't, like, a lot of bad matches. Like, there was probably one that stood out that was, like, really, really bad, in which, like, surprisingly, it was Marty Bell versus Rachel Evers, as they call her in WWE. But,
AKA yeah, who? What's her? Who's
Rachel Ellering?
Oh, okay.
Daughter of Paul Ellering.
Why would they do that?
Yeah. Why? Because Paul's on TV, so like.
But.
That's why they changed it. I don't know.
That's frustrating to me because that's something that they've already discussed, so it's not like it's new information. And I think that would be cool. Like, why not have her on there? That would be great. There would be potential for some great storyline situations with her father wanting to, like, you know, if she's a face and her father wants to work with her and she doesn't want to go that route. There's lots of cool stuff there. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if she ever gets, like, officially signed, that's something they can do.
Mm. Do you think that's why they did that? Just because she's not signed?
Possibly. But I don't know for sure, but that's a possibility. But, like, from what I heard, they said, like, they didn't want her to have the same last name because, like, Paul's on TV and I guess, like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me, but I guess it makes sense to them somehow.
Sure. No, I get it. I get it. You're a sensible person. They are not. So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like, the tournament went very well. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I want to say all around. It was probably my favorite tournament all around. Like, not, like, because, you know, like, the UK final was incredible, but, like, not every match in the UK tournament was fire.
Oh, absolutely. Like, absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
I think, like, a majority of the matches in the women's tournament was, like, really good, and the crowd was really good as well. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it was because I was there live that I enjoyed it probably more than the other ones, but that's a thing.
Okay, so do you think... I feel like this tournament has been planned for a while, but how do you feel like the impact of, like, Glow being so popular right now on Netflix and everything else that's going on with women's wrestling is for this tournament? I mean, was it just kind of Was it finally accepted as being competitors competing against each other, or were they still trying to make it out like, here we are making history again? Because that's one of my concerns, that they just shove that once again in your face too much when it comes to women's wrestling.
I think, not just women's wrestling, like the women's wrestling that revolution. I think just like the amount of like empower like women, period, in like all of entertainment is like a big thing of like why this is more probably being accepted, which I'm very happy about that. And plus, I don't know if they like, really tried to shove the whole like, oh yeah, this is historic, blah blah blah, because obviously I didn't hear a commentary or anything like that. But like,
right, of course.
I mean, at the start of every episode, because like, they recorded it by episode. So, like, at the start, they were, oh, yeah, the historic Mae Young Classic. Yeah, they say that, but it's not like, I don't know if it was, like, every 5 minutes. It's like, this is making history. We've never seen this before. Oh, my God. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, they did that with, like, the Dusty Rhodes Classic, too, where they, you know, they hyped up the history of it and the meaning behind it each time. And I'm fine with that to a small extent. But I feel like they could be a big part of people getting over that by just getting over it themselves, you know, by just presenting the women and going on. But that's I'm not going to dwell too much on that, because I'm still very excited that they're doing this. And I'm excited that women's wrestling right now is being taken as seriously as it is, because it's a really fantastic time for it. There's so many great competitors. This tournament, some of the names in this tournament, it was amazing to me that they were able to bring some of these women in. Who were you most surprised to see?
Surprised to see,
because Tony was that for me.
Serena.
Oh yeah, right. Holy crap!
Serena came back, and I was like, holy shit! And the best thing about that was like, there was a lot of people that didn't realize until like the next day.
Who
like,
she was?
Oh my God, that's Serena from the
Straight Edge
Society.
Yeah,
yeah, and they're like, yo, she shaved her head, remember? And like, oh my God, I'm like, yeah, man, I see you've been watching wrestling the last fucking 2 days.
Right. she's one of those people that it's easy to forget, because she just kind of disappeared out of nowhere. She seemed to really have a bright future ahead of her, and she just disappeared out of nowhere. She's basically like the Brian Kendrick in this tournament.
Yeah, exactly. She was great. Like, she was really great. And, you know, like, it was just like, holy shit, like, I haven't seen her since, I think, like, her run in Japan that she had and stuff like that. So, like, it was really, like, really good to see Serena back.
Yeah, that's really cool. And, I mean, I think that was there any other legends or former WWE divas, wrestlers, women wrestlers, anything like that in the tournament besides her?
No.
Okay.
No, it was just Serena.
I think that's cool. She
was basically the Brian Kendrick.
Yeah. Because I feel but like she's still... Isn't she... She's still relatively young, right?
Serena? I don't know.
Yeah, she's
I'd say definitely not like... anywhere mid-30s, the oldest.
Okay.
Serena, I'm going to look her up. Sorry. Okay.
So what was the reaction to some of the big women in the tournament? How were they received?
Like Kyrie?
Yes. Well, I was meaning physically, literally big. But yes, I want to know about... Yeah, like Jazzy. And what's the other girl's name that looked like she had an amazing match? Yeah, Viper. Yeah, were people loving that, or was that one of those, the crowd was kind of meh on them?
Serena's 31 years old.
Okay, so yeah, plenty still left to give.
Yeah, Jazzy Gabber, aka Alpha Female,
yes,
was the most over competitor in the whole tournament.
Yes. What I want to hear, man. That's awesome.
Most over, like, my God, because like from the first seconds, like it was her versus Kimberly in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So like Kimber's just like, you know, going at her, and then like she's just no selling it, and then like the crowd just fucking exploded. Like the heat for that match was amazing, and shit like that. And then like the second day, you know, after her match, after the match that she worked in the second day, the crowd exploded again. It was big "Please Sign Jazzy" chants. When Triple H came out, they started chanting "Please Sign Jazzy." She was easily the most over competitor of the whole weekend.
That's awesome, man. Because she is she is something to behold. She's amazing, and I haven't seen too many matches of hers, but I've seen like some of her training videos where she does the MMA training, and like seriously, dude, man, she's tougher than I think half the guys on the WWE's current roster. Like, she's a badass. Absolutely. And that's,
she's, oh my god, she's incredible. She's now, it's like, not only is she like this like supreme badass that can beat the shit out, like she can work, she can sell, she knows how to tell a story. She's awesome.
Not to mention the fact that Alpha Female is one badass nickname that I'm surprised, yeah, I haven't heard anybody try to use up till now.
Yeah, oh my god, it's so good. She's great. Like, she's amazing. I'm so happy to see her in the tournament. I was so happy to see that everyone loved her like that.
Yeah.
She was great. I've seen her in Stardom a bunch, and she's fucking fantastic.
That's awesome. All right, so let's have it. How was Kyrie? How was Kyrie's debut?
Oh, man, amazing. Oh, yeah, but before Kyrie, Viper, too. Viper,
oh, Viper, yeah, yeah.
Very, like, she was very over, too. Like, everyone loves Viper, like, or Piper Nevin, as her name is in the tournament.
Piper.
yeah, Piper, like my dog. Which I was like, oh, good name.
Like my dog, too.
Yeah, see?
Yep.
Twins.
That's right.
But yeah, so, like, she was really over. She looked fantastic. She was great throughout the whole tournament. I was really happy for Viper because, again, like, I've seen her grow over the past couple of years, you know, and stuff like that. So I'm really happy for her, too.
There's just something.
On to Kyrie.
There's just something about big women.
She's lovable.
Big women. I love the big women, and I'm so glad that the big women are getting, you know, appreciated. You know, like, it's just because it's. I feel the same way about big dudes. You know, I've always grown up with wrestling being a thing of with people of various shapes, and despite the fact that I enjoyed them only having, you know, gorgeous, hot looking model type women in WWE when I was growing up as a young red-blooded American lad, I am glad now that the world's different. You know, like, now, especially for me, I sincerely see things differently because I have a six-year-old daughter, you know, and there are just things that I sincerely want for, you know, women's wrestling to be just a normal,
yeah,
you know, I just want it to be like women of all shapes and sizes fighting each other, and, you know, like, just in the grand scheme of things, there really should be more Nia Jaxes than there are Alexa Blisses, based on the fact that they would kick the shit out of an Alexa Bliss in real life, you know? So it's one of those things that I feel like that is one of the biggest things to get women as being seen as competitors versus being,
yeah,
seen as Barbie dolls, you know?
Nia Jax was actually at the tournament, and I wanted Jazzy to just get in her face because I want that match so bad.
And we also had a horsewoman moment too, right? We had a little horsewoman conflict. Yeah, that's all great. But all right, let's put that aside. Kyrie, let's Kyrie.
Kyrie,
the pirate princess.
Sane, pirate. Yo, I'm so happy that they let her keep basically everything from, like, her start. Like, they even gave her, like, some piratey music. They let her keep her
no
little
shit.
Really?
Thing.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, she had a pirate hat.
Yeah!
She just didn't, have her pirate lucha mask, but I'll take it. They let everything else fly, so.
That's, you know what, though? That's something that happens at, like, a takeover. You know, like, this,
yeah,
I can kind of understand downplaying some of that, because to a degree, that would kind of be, like, Finn coming out in a tournament like this as the demon. You know, like, you got to reserve that for bigger events. But I'm glad that they're letting her be her. I think that's the biggest thing that I'm so happy about WWE over the last couple of years. Some of the people they bring in, you know, they kind of change them for the better, and they give them a better gimmick than possibly what they were doing outside of, you know, WWE. In a few instances, it's worse. But for the most case, I feel like they're letting people that were wrestlers outside of the company be themselves when they come in, and it really is for the best. It's giving them the best opportunity at actually succeeding. If people liked you on the independent scene for whatever reason, then there's probably a good reason for it. You should probably nurture that when they come to WWE instead of trying to make them a different person. Especially someone like Kairi, because she's so big.
Yeah, absolutely. She's awesome. Like I said, they let her do everything that she did. So if anybody is worried about, like, oh, I don't think she's gonna let, they're gonna let her do the forearm because of AJ Styles, or oh, they're not gonna let her do the elbow. Believe me, she did them. They're beautiful.
Oh, that's good news. Especially the elbow. Holy shit, that elbow.
Yeah, and like Kairi was great. She made everyone look like $1 million. She faced, I'm going to tell, like, what's her name? Bianca Belair is her name. And she's like an NXT girl. Mm-hmm. And I think I was told that they don't even know if she had like at least like over 10 matches yet. And against Kairi, she looked incredible. Like she played up the heel, role very well and stuff like that. I don't know if I want to. Yeah, she pulled up a 450. It was incredible.
What? And, what? Yeah. Are you serious? Holy shit, I'm dead ass.
Yeah, like she looked amazing against Kairi. Like I can't wait for everyone to see that because like this girl has incredible potential.
Okay, so they did a good job because that was another concern of mine, that their highlighting of NXT talent essentially instead of making them job to all of these wonderful women that they brought in. Did they do a good job of that?
I think they did a solid job of whoever needed to lose lost, and like whoever they felt like should like get like shown off a little more came on. Like it was like Bianca, Lacey Evans, I believe her name is. She has like this American pinup gimmick.
Yes, yeah, I saw her.
I think she was fine.
Yeah, she's I think she strong.
Was, yeah, she is.
Yeah,
that girl. That, so that, like that, there was like strong. You know. Yeah, there was a few girls that were in NXT that they looked like, it was like they look good. I'm really excited for like the future of like these NXT trained girls that aren't coming like from the indies and stuff like that. They're looking really good, and I'm excited to see like what they do with them.
Who stood out to you the most, maybe in a surprising way? Because I'm sure if Kairi stood out, you wouldn't say Kairi because it's not surprising to you. But who, even if it's someone you mentioned already, who stood out to you? Like you were like, holy shit, was it that Bianca girl?
Bianca was definitely one of them. Like I said, like I was not expecting her to have such a fantastic match with Kairi, even though Kairi, but I wasn't expecting it to be that good. Like the heel, the heat that it got and all that stuff, it was really awesome. Again, alpha female, I was super surprised that she got like super over like that. Like to the point where everyone wants her signed. Who else? Kimberly, I would say, surprised me too, because like there was a point where I was kind of down on her, you know, and stuff. And so I was like, maybe like in this tournament now, like she's had a little more time, and I haven't seen her in a while. She'll look better, and she looked pretty great to me, in my opinion.
Do you think this is going to possibly become its own thing? Do we see a like women's a wrestling show that's just women?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I'm hearing that, like, because like I think like they said Meltzer said that like they're not really like offering a bunch of contracts out from this like tournament. So I don't know if like they're really planning on doing like, a women's show or not, or like they're just like kind of stacking up the women's division in NXT.
Well, they need it. They definitely need to bring in some talent. But this kind of reminds me of the Cruiserweight Classic, where we saw this huge influx of talent in the Classic, and I expected them to keep just a very small, you know, portion of those guys, and they kept way more, you know, wrestlers than I thought, and it became 205 Live, and I don't know if that was their intention in the beginning when they did the Cruiserweight Classic. They still haven't committed to any kind of UK show, which I'm completely fine with, because I don't think that they picked up enough UK wrestlers to bolster a show or support a show. I don't think that's why I agreed with you about some of the matches in the UK tournament. Some of them were just kind of meh. You know, there wasn't enough talent in that. But I look at the talent list of this women's tournament, and man, I'm blown away by it. I'm blown away by not only the people you've brought up, but the other names I've seen on here. And I'm amazed that they were able to get all of these women for this tournament. it makes me sad because I know based on the fact of how full their roster overall, WWE as a whole is just stacked with people. Like I feel like they don't even really need the developmental center anymore, you know, but that's because they just have so many guys. And like, honestly, the people they're picking up from the independent scene are, for the most part, are working out way better than the talent that their homegrown talent. So I just wonder when they have a tournament like this, how many of the competitors we're going to see stick around, and you know what the future could potentially hold if they do want to keep a bunch of these women.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Like, there's a bunch of contracts I would have threw around if I was, like, they're lucky I'm not like some scout. I would have been signing a bunch of people. Yes,
Mark would have been signing women in the crowd. You, these girls over here.
Oh yeah, because there was a couple of indie girls in the crowd I would have signed too.
Yep. I know you.
You know, like, yeah, it was like, oh man, everyone was great. Like I said, oh man, Mercedes Martinez. I became such a big fan of hers during this tournament. She's fucking incredible. She's badass.
I've heard of her. I've never seen her before. Yeah.
She's super, like, she's like this really badass Latina. And it was just like great. This, like, I just felt like really happy to be represented by Mercedes Martinez in the tournament by watching her. That. She's fucking fantastic. Because not even only is she like that, she was hailing from Connecticut. And like that's where she was introduced from.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh man, I can. Maybe one day we can talk about how much we hate Connecticut. Because, yeah, so she was amazing. As anyone that knows me, too, Nicole Savoy, I'm a big fan of, and she looked great in that tournament, too. And there was just so many girls. Like, I was really happy to have the trifecta there, which is Nicole Savoy, Mercedes Martinez, and Shayna Baszler,
yeah.
who was absolutely destroying. Like, I think the best finishes of like every match has gone to Shayna because she just killed it. Amazing.
See, and that's awesome because I think I've kind of followed her career the entire time from when she decided to go from MMA to being a wrestler. And there was just a part of me that was like, yeah, she's going to be badass, you know? But I like that they embraced that badass side of her so much. I'm not really happy with some of the outcomes that I know about involving her based on who her competitor was, but yeah, no, I mean, some of the stuff I've heard and have seen, it definitely looks like she was a big heel in the tournament perhaps, and really exactly what the women's division needs right now.
Yeah, absolutely. She was an incredible heel. She definitely knew like how to work the crowd. Like, oh man, she was just so good.
No spoilers, but let's talk about it. She had the moment where she went up to the WWE's Four Horsewomen and flashed the Four Horsewomen sign in their faces, essentially claiming that they are the real Four Horsewomen, her little clique. And I love that like. Because there's a big part of me that feels that was unscripted.
It was so good. And, it was like, man, I don't know, the crowd was so hot for it.
Right, and I don't know. I don't know. I could be completely wrong about that because I know the way this shit works. You meet backstage, somebody talks about something, you bring up an idea, they're like, oh yeah, you should do that. You know. So I don't know if that's the way it happened or not. But from the way that I've seen, it seemed like it was just something she did. And holy shit, man, the speculation that could come up from something like that, not to mention the fact that, you know, you have everything going on with, what's her name? Why can't I think of her name? The biggest MMA star?
Ronda
Rousey, right. You know, we never got any follow-up from that at WrestleMania in San Jose. So, yeah, I love this. I loved everything about this, and I love where it could potentially lead down the line, because Ronda Rousey is not really doing anything, you know. If it at least there's a part of me, Mark, I can't tell you how bad that I want that fucking storyline resolved. Maybe it's because it happened 10 feet away from me when it was happening, and that really is why it excites me, like you said about this tournament. But man, of all the things that I have seen that didn't get resolved, Ronda Rousey fighting Stephanie McMahon is still one of the one things that I just desire to see so badly. But this definitely at least opens up the door for not only the other, you know, not only Ronda, but the other four horsewomen and Baszler's kind of stable to, you know, come over or at least make some sort of appearance. And I think that's really exciting. I think that for me, I find to be exciting, you know, and it's just one small aspect of this tournament. So they're definitely doing all the right things when it comes to building interest and honestly, taking women just seriously as competitors and letting them tell good stories. Which things like things you have been watching for years have done.
Yeah, I'm just really happy to like see this in WWE, because like there was some matches, like I said, I won't say like who and what round, but there was some matches that happened in Stardom, that happened in the Mae Young Classic, in which I was just like, oh man, this feels exactly like a Stardom match, which is awesome. Like I was really happy about it. Like, you know, like obviously it was Kairi, it was in it, and whoever she faced, and which I won't say, fine. Mm-hmm. It was great. And like the best thing about this tournament was I was very familiar with like, a lot of people, because more probably like a double digit amount, or maybe like just a little less of a double digit amount, have been in Stardom. You know, there's Kairi, Viper, Evie, who I forgot to speak on so far. Evie was amazing. She's extremely lovable. She's badass, kicks people's faces off. I was super happy to finally see her live, the big dog.
She's amazing. And not only that, but shout out to Evie for sending love to my daughter during the whole tonsillectomy thing, because that's just, like, I don't know. That hits me right in the heart when some of these people need to take time out of their day to send a little love to my kid. But, man, I mean, between that and, you know, just in general how badass she is, I am completely 100% a Dakota Kai fan.
Yeah, Dakota Kai. I like it because it reminds me of Cobra Kai, so it just sounds like really badass.
No shit, right?
And Evie's just legit badass, so I'm going to start calling her DK for short.
Nice. I like it. I'm on board with it.
Yeah. Yep. She's fucking incredible. Obviously, Toni Storm.
Yeah, right? That was one of my surprises. I didn't hear about her in any way, and I saw some people begging for it, and I was like, I remember thinking when someone was begging for her to be in the tournament, I was like, quit being greedy. Can't have everybody. Sure enough, Toni Storm in the tournament.
Yes, the Stardom SWA champion in the WWE Mae Young Classic.
Now, let me ask you,
it was great to see her.
Do you think that the Stardom girls sell better than, like, normal women wrestlers here in these states?
Like, sell as in the ring or as in, like, the name?
No, sell in the ring. Like, just in general, do you think, because you were talking about, like, Kairi really putting over the NXT Bianca girl. And I don't know, in every clip I ever see of Stardom, it always looks like the whoever's taking the bump is getting just killed.
Oh, God, yeah, those hard bumps that, like, people like Kairi and Io take is, yeah, it's pretty incredible. But, would I say they sell better? I think there's definitely a gap between, like, the girls that have been in Stardom and the girls that haven't. You know, like, not to be like, oh, yeah, they worked in Japan, Japan's better, blah, blah, blah. But there's just a difference in the training and stuff like that. You know, these girls are practicing all the time and stuff like that. And, you know, so there's a noticeable gap between, like, the girls that have worked in Stardom and the girls that are just, like, in the American Indies or just NXT trained. But they didn't, like, what's the word, highlight that gap. Like, the girls definitely made sure everyone looked good rather than, like, trying to, like, show out themselves and stuff like that.
Yes, yeah. I think that's possibly how I felt about, like, the New Japan show I went to go see. You know? Like, I always thought about the Japanese wrestlers being tougher. I always thought about them just, in general, taking a hit in the face directly. And then when you're sitting closer, you're like, oh, no, they're not. Well, they kind of are, but they're not really taking the hit in the face. They're just really making it look like they're taking that straight on the chin when they're not. Things like that, I think it's that. It's that basic concept of trying to make each other look good while we're doing this, whereas so many matches in the States are about making one guy look good or making one guy look a certain way and one guy look a different way. you know?
Yeah, stealing the show.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get that, but I think that when people start to think of New Japan fans or, you know, people like you and I as being like wrestling hipsters, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that it's kind of like, you know, watching Jim Carrey comedy when you're younger and liking it and thinking he's the funniest guy on the planet, and then growing up a little bit and watching some more sophisticated comedy, like, let's say Louis C.K. is one of my favorite comedians. So you watch something like
Louis C.K. Is that sophisticated?
No, not sophisticated. I just mean, like, it's adult. Yeah, it's adult, and it's, like, it makes it hard in a way when you, like, start watching a certain kind of comedy to go back and actually even laugh at, like, slapstick bullshit like Ace Ventura, for instance. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how I feel sometimes about wrestling. Like, I don't intend to be a hipster about it, and I still watch WWE, but when I watch other promotions that deliver a more adult experience, or at least what I perceive to be a more adult experience in wrestling, it makes it a little bit harder each time to go back to WWE. But then WWE does something that completely provides that same satisfactory experience, and now I'm 100% back in with them, you know? It's not like I want to dislike WWE or I want to be a wrestling hipster type. I just like what I like, and sometimes, especially, you know, 3 weeks out of four, usually, WWE doesn't necessarily provide that for me, you know? I think that wrestling fan bases are older, and that's just the way it is. And even when I was a kid, it was intended for an older audience, but that, as a kid, made me think it was cool and thus made me want to watch it even more, you know? I feel like that when I watch a lot of New Japan. And now, yeah, it's also because they're supposed to be filming in another language and then the Young Bucks can come on and say fuck you to somebody or whatever, but, you know, it's also the fact that I feel like they're offering a different form of entertainment that's more to my liking at this point in my life, you know? And that's what I hope for WWE. I hope WWE gets on that train. I think NXT is much more to my liking than Raw, for instance. And this tournament, all of these tournaments that they've done are much more up my alley versus, you know, other things that they do. So I put WWE on blast a lot, but I'm also very proud and very much enjoying a lot of what they're doing, you know?
It's kind of the beauty of it, though. Like, there's stuff for people like how you say, like, you prefer NXT, you prefer the tournaments. And then there's a bunch of people that probably prefer what they see on Raw, the entertainment factor and stuff like that. And then, like, there's other people, what's like I said, like, we both are at the end of the day, where we're happy to be able to watch someone beat the shit out of each other and chop each other until they bleed.
Yes.
And then the next day, we're happy to see Breezango on the Platinum
Files. Yes, absolutely. It's all different forms of entertainment.
That's the beauty of it. Like, absolutely. I think it's like the fact that they can have everything in like the same, under the same umbrella is a pretty great thing. You know, WWE is WWE, but there's a lot of things they're doing right, in which I think having this spectrum of like, oh, do you like this, this, and that, or do you like this, this, and that, and like you can watch whatever you want to watch on whatever day.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that's that. I'll give them so much credit because they've offered so much that, you know what? And I've said it before, but now I feel it more than ever. If you don't like Raw, go watch SmackDown. If you don't like either of those, that's fine too, because NXT is a totally viable option. You don't have to watch SmackDown and Raw. You can just watch NXT. Just that. And you'll get plenty of entertainment out of it. I have friends that don't even have like cable or satellite or anything. They literally just have, like, Rokus or, you know, Chromecast. And they're still subscribers to the network because they still want to watch the pay-per-views and they still want to watch, you know, like, the NXT and the other stuff they're doing. When I think about that, I'm like, that's actually pretty brilliant because all that they're doing with the shows lately is building towards the pay-per-views constantly with offering you very little content otherwise. And if you watch the pay-per-view, you're going to get an hour and a half long recap on what has been happening leading up to the pay-per-view from the last pay-per-view. So they're really not missing very much, and I'm kind of envious. Like, I feel like I'm just in too deep and I'm addicted to watching the weekly shows, but there's a big part of me that kind of is jealous of that and wish I could just watch that, because I think I would enjoy it a lot more. I feel like WWE is just on a lot, and you know, when you have so much to choose from and so much to watch, it makes the parts that aren't enjoyable that much harder to bear.
Yeah, like, that's basically my formula. Like, I kind of just watch the pay-per-views lately, because, like, I haven't watched Raw in a while. Like, I'll watch it in pieces. Like, to be honest with you, I mainly watch Raw in pieces on Twitter when they, like, drop the videos of shit. And, like, sure. I'll watch the funny shit or the important stuff, where, like, if someone's like, oh, yeah, Samoa Joe and fucking Roman Reigns had a match. I'm like, all right, bet, I gotta watch that. But I'm not watching Raw, like, 3 hours of it. No. SmackDown, I'll try to catch every once in a while. Like, every once in a while, I'll try to catch. But on the reel, like, I barely watch that, too. Like, I watch Talking Smack more than
SmackDown. Man, I'm so disappointed by its cancellation.
Yeah, so, like, you know, like, so that's my formula. Just, like, basically, I just watch the pay-per-views, and, like, in between time, I watch all my indie shit. Like,
yeah. Hey, man, it makes sense. And no matter how you watch it, I'm not here to tell anybody how to watch it. There's so many different ways to watch wrestling now. Enjoy it. That's all I say. No matter what you do, enjoy it. You know, Captain Jack, my buddy, he doesn't like WWE anymore, and he has, like, a deeper reason. You know, he's very political, and he's mad about, you know, a lot of the involvement with Trump and whatnot. He pulled his money out of WWE as a whole. You know, he canceled the app. He doesn't watch it. He doesn't go to live events. That's his prerogative, man. It's completely on him. He is one of the most knowledgeable people I know about, like, the history of wrestling, you know? So it really took a lot, I think, for him to give up on it. But he hasn't missed a beat because he has all of this other wrestling to watch. He, you know, you go right on to New Japan, you go right into the G1 tournament, you go right into something else, and the next thing you know, you never really miss WWE. So, you know, I don't know how many times we've spoken about how many options there are out there, but, you know, I think the biggest thing is just to enjoy it. Find something you like and enjoy it. I really, myself, enjoy these tournaments. These tournaments, to me, man, they rev my engine, you know, because it has everything that I love about wrestling in one, you know, event. Sure, it might be over multiple days or whatever, but, you know, in one thing. It has debuts. It has excitement over, you know, big names that I recognize and I know. It has completely unknowns. It has matches that make me fans of someone instantly that I don't know about. It does everything for me, and in the end, it really puts one person over as being, like, the most amazing, you know, person in the company in that moment. In that day, that time. I'm excited for whoever gets that opportunity, and I think that specifically for women's wrestling, this might finally be that, you know, that hump to get over to where we're just accepting and watching women as equal and normal competitors just like anything else. You know? And maybe one day we'll see a man fight a woman in WWE. I don't know. I'm excited for that.
Maybe. But yeah, speaking of, like, all that, like, I do want to, like, shout out the Full Sail crowd. I knew they do have, like, this, like, shitty reputation, but I think they did, like, very well in this. Like, you know, they had their little, like, one, two, that two sweet bullshit, like, you know, that one, two, when they, like, the ref counts to two and they go two sweet.
Yeah.
That was super annoying. But other than that, like, I think they were fine. Like, I can't speak for the whole entire crowd, but from where I was, my section, all that stuff, I didn't hear any sexist stuff. I didn't hear anyone getting bothered. I didn't hear any girls getting bothered or anything like that. So, like, shout out to Full Sail for that. I was really happy to be a part of that crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, they do kind of get a bad rap, I think. I enjoy the Full Sail crowd because they're the closest thing that WWE has to an indie crowd of repeat customers that come back, and, you know, I think that they provide a great atmosphere. To hear that, what you said, that's awesome. You know, like, it's not like I was expecting to hear a bunch of sexist, terrible shit shouted out, but it's wrestling fans, so you never know. You know, and I know that
we've
heard some terrible things from different shows and like Ring of Honor and Progress and all sorts of stuff. So that's definitely a awesome factor or an awesome thing to hear, I should say.
Yeah, it was good. It was really great. Like I said, they worked very well for the heel face factors and matches and stuff like that. It was incredible. Like I said, like the heat that they gave off, it was really good. Like I said, I can't wait for people to see like how loud they got for Jazzy and stuff like that. So,
okay. Happy. Before we wrap up, give me one name. One name. You don't even have to give me your reason why. Just give me one name to watch for people to watch when they're watching the tournament. And somebody, I know it's hard because you've talked about so many of the women in the tournament, but maybe somebody you haven't brought up yet.
I think Mia Yim looked great, for sure.
Really? Awesome. That's good to hear.
Yeah, she looked great. I didn't mention her, so like that'll be the one person I haven't mentioned. I'll say Mia Yim. If I had to pick like one that's like, yo, like you have to watch her, and after this you have to check out everything.
Yeah.
I think I gotta go with Kairi, because Kairi just like she did her thing, and she did her like extreme baby face thing, and the whole thing of like on Twitter that I saw about like Kairi being like everyone's like, oh, she's gonna be another Kana. Or I mean Asuka, sorry, I'm being a fucking smart, I guess.
You smunt.
Like Asuka and this and that, and which I don't know if people have not seen Kairi, but she's completely the opposite like side of the spectrum of Asuka. Asuka's this badass and knows she's badass and she's like unbeatable and all those other things. Kairi is an extreme underdog. One of the biggest baby faces on the planet, if not the biggest baby face on the planet. And the way that crowd got behind her in like a bunch of different scenarios and like these matches and stuff was amazing. So yeah, like if you haven't seen Kairi, when you see her, you're gonna be like, wow, I should probably like look up a bunch of stuff. And which if you do, I'm available. I will show you all the Kairi Hojo shit.
Slide into those DMs, baby.
Yeah, so like Kairi is definitely one. I think Gabber. I think Jazzy will be someone too that like people are gonna be like, wow, like she got this over and she seems pretty damn great. Maybe I should like watch a few more matches and stuff like that. Like, and because she's just incredible. Former Stardom champion and stuff like that. So like the way that she was getting over was incredible. Mercedes Martinez again too.
Yeah,
it's probably gonna be someone that like you said, you haven't heard of her. A lot of people have heard. I mean, you've heard of her, but you haven't seen her. And I know that's a lot case with a lot of people. But I think like after they see her in this tournament, they go like, "Yo, I think I should like pay more attention to her on the indies."
Nice. See, going back to what you were saying about Kairi and Asuka, I feel like that's a slightly racist thing with Asians.
They're Asian. They're gonna be the same.
Right, because I heard that same shit with Hideo and Shinsuke. And I was like when I heard, or when I don't know, it's one of those things that like sometimes you scroll through Twitter and you see somebody spout off with some dumb shit and then you want to comment, but you're like, no, I don't even want to fucking talk to you about this. You're so dumb that I don't even want to engage in a fucking banter or argument with you about this because that was a stupid fucking thing to say. And like, that's what I thought when I saw the Hideo Shinsuke comparison, because to me, they couldn't be two completely different people, you know?
Yeah.
But to some American dude, what they are is two Asian guys that can knee someone in the face. You know, like,
yeah.
It's such a fucking stereotype. And that's, I think that a lot of Asian wrestlers honestly suffer from that because people, and I think that it translates over to WWE's decision making about like, oh, we don't need too many Asians at once. You know,
yeah,
you can't have all these Asian guys on the roster all at the same time. You know, like it's ludicrous to me. But again, that comes from, I think, experience versus ignorance, like being around Asian people versus being never being around anybody of a different culture, you know, look than yourself.
I think the problem, too, is like there's a lot of people that are commenting on things that they have never seen wrestle before, have nothing like that. They just see like, oh, she's Asian, or they hear like Shayna's the MMA girl and stuff like that. Like, oh, like and shit like that. And it's like, listen to me, like Shayna Baszler has been wrestling for like less than 2 years, and she's probably one of the best in the world already. And she's faced the best in the world before, and she held her own. And you know what I'm saying? So you can't just tell me that she's just some MMA girl and that's why she's there. She's there because she's a fucking fantastic pro wrestler.
I think that, and to be 100% honest, before we wrap this up, I think that's like a society thing. You know, like, that's why when you look at, as ridiculous as it is, you look at that show Glow, and you look at the way that they set up a wrestling show in the 80s, and women were perceived and everything, and like, to this day, that's still how your general wrestling fan sees people. Like you said, oh, that's the Asian girl, that's the terrorist, she's the big one, she's the hot one, she's the Russian, she's the American girl, you know what I mean? Like, to a degree, that is still how people, like, label people, and, yeah, they never actually look into their work, they just, you know, assume that, oh, like, they'll see a GIF Hoke puts up, and they're like, yep, I know everything about her now, in that 4 seconds of grainy footage that I just saw on Twitter, I know everything that girl is about now, you know, so.
Yeah, Kyrie does a backfist, Asuka does a backfist, oh my god, they're the same.
Yep, like, they're the same
please,
person.
Cut this shit out.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. It's just like stupid, and it's like whatever. Just like I said,
it's
keep
true. Your
mind, keep in mind, open mind when you watch this, and you're gonna see like, damn man, these girls are fucking incredible, and yes. I really can't wait to see, for everyone to watch this, and like, I want to see who like gets put over the most on Twitter and stuff like that, because man, I'm just excited for like a lot of these girls to be seen and like and to be talking about the shit that I'm talking about to be seen. Like I'm so excited for everyone to see Kyrie versus Bianca Belair. Like, I'm really excited for everyone to see that match, because like, it was so good.
Yeah. Yeah, and going back to what I was trying to say is sometimes we villainize WWE, but in reality, you know, we as fans do that. So then WWE is like, okay, well, that's how they see them. You know what I mean? Like, so
yeah.
It's like we blame them, but then it's also kind of to blame wrestling fans too. It's our fault. That's why I think I'm really excited to see this. You know, in my lifetime, you and me being the age that we are, we've lived through some crazy bullshit. You know, like, I know I'm older than you, but, you know, we've lived through times where we fucking actually had to use cassette tapes, and now we got MP3 players.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what I mean? Like, and so for me, I've lived through a time where women were nothing when it came to wrestling other than basically masturbatory material. Like, there was no value to a woman being in wrestling if she wasn't half naked or with giant fake boobs or, you know, taking her clothes off or wrestling in a lingerie match or whatever, you know? And then, you know, and just because women being taken seriously were kind of before my time, and then kind of after I grew up.
Yeah, we got kind of caught in the middle. Like, I know I did for sure.
Right, when it was just about that. But then, like, you know, as we were getting older, you know, like, and, you know, we had that transition period where you had, like, Lita and Trish that were still absolutely hot and still in that masturbatory category, but holy shit, could they go in the ring? And then you had Mickey James, and, you know, then, like, things started changing. And, like, even now, it's kind of funny because I don't think of the women on the current roster in any sexual way at all. But a big part of that is that I've grown too old, I feel like, where I'm, like, I feel dirty for thinking of, like, a 23-year-old in a sexual way or whatever. But it's also kind of wrestling, like, they don't have the women out there that they have to be sexual objects anymore. They have them out there because they put on damn good matches and they can entertain a crowd and they can invoke emotions in people. And so I love that, you know, and even when they do a shitty job with it and only put women on for, you know, 5 minutes a night, it's still a better 5 minutes of quality time than they were getting, you know, back in 1998 when I was at the peak of my wrestling watching. So I'm really happy that we're at where we're at, and I hope that wrestling fans continue to kind of adapt and change and appreciate what these women do. You know, these women in this tournament put on, from my understanding and from your description, one hell of a show that we're going to get to watch. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I'm really hyped, man. Fuck you, Ryback. This is going to be an amazing thing. Because, like,
oh, you know what? I want to title the episode "Fuck You, Ryback." That is a great way to lead this off. Fuck you, Ryback. Fuck you, you fucking meathead. I would rather watch every fucking woman in this tournament over your stupid ass any day. And no, I won't say that to your face because you probably would beat my fucking head in. But I don't care because I'm a safe distance away from you. And I know you don't know how to use maps. So you can't find me. And I'm okay with saying it. Fuck you, Ryback.
Fuck Ryback. You can find me. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Fuck Ryback.
Go find Mark.
I'm really excited for everyone, like I said, to get to see this and to just be like, oh, man, WWE's taking this seriously. Because I'm so happy about it. I'm just really so happy about it.
Is that the biggest takeaway for you, that they legitimately took this seriously the same way they would any men's tournament?
Yes, absolutely. Like, that's what, like, really got them. Like, man, this is, like, legit. Like, this isn't, like, just bullshit matches. Like, they're having these girls go all out. Like, I was, like I said, that's what made me so happy about it. Because, like, it was, like, this is being on held in the same standards as the UK tournament, as the CWC. It's on those same standards, and I'm really happy about that.
I love it, man. I'm happy to hear it. I can't wait to watch it. When did you say that it will be aired? Like, August 9th?
28th, I believe they said.
August 28th. Like, I don't know. Okay.
I don't know if, like, they're putting everything out there or they're going by, like, 4 episodes each, like, release or something like that. Like, it's really weird, but apparently, like, binge watching is supposed to be, like, the thing for this.
Just give it to me all.
And the final is going to be at, like, some SmackDown in Las Vegas, in which, like, I think that was a bad idea.
Oh, so you haven't seen the final yet?
No.
Okay. So you know who's SmackDown in the final, but you haven't seen the final. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's going to be at a SmackDown in Las Vegas. Like, it's replacing 205 Live, which I don't think it's a good, like, I think it was kind of like a bad move because, you know, it's going to be after SmackDown. People are going to leave and all this other stuff. And, you know, like, have you ever seen a really hyped 205 Live crowd yet?
Well, okay. I have to keep the information that I say here limited, but I'll say this much. Like, after SmackDown is over, I was hooking up with with Big E, right? And I found out some stuff about WWE with the, you know, 205 Live crowd kind of leaving and everything, and, like, they really incent people now to stay for 205 Live. Like, at the show I was at, they were giving you John Cena and Shinsuke Nakamura teaming up as a tag team, but you had to stay around to watch 205 Live first. You know what I mean? So they've been doing that. And then the match was, like, you know, 4 minutes of match after the entrances and stuff. So, like, the dark main event was not really worth sticking around for. But at the same time, yes, it was, because you didn't get to see either of those guys wrestle at that particular SmackDown. It was very smart. I'll say that
makes sense.
I think that people have enough respect for this women's tournament that they would be excited to see the final. To me, that's like saying, like, the final of the UK tournament is going to happen after SmackDown, after 205 Live is over, and people are going to have to stick around for it or whatever. I don't know. I think people would, because it's a big enough match. I will say that Las Vegas isn't the perfect crowd for it. I think of Las Vegas being a lot like Phoenix, where it's kind of a wishy-washy situation. Sometimes in Phoenix you can get amazing crowds, and sometimes you get lame crowds. Like, I was really impressed with the crowd here the last two shows that I went to. But prior to that, they I think it was the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, they just disappointed me all night long. So, like, I don't know. With these Southwest cities, you don't know what you're going to get sometimes. I would have preferred for it to take place in a much bigger wrestling town, you know. But Las Vegas, I mean, depending on who's in it, that could be the perfect place. I mean, they definitely come out for big fight type atmospheres, and Las Vegas is a travel destination. So if you wanted to go to that particular SmackDown and see that championship or that final match, you know, Las Vegas is a cool place to go.
I legit think that they could have had that final, like, that night at Full Sail, and the crowd would have been fucking incredible. Like, that's another thing about the crowd. Like, 100%. As much matches that we watched, like, the first night, we watched the whole entire first round. You know, so, like, the crowd did not die or anything like that. So that was, like, a good thing about it. Like, they could have either had the final, or they could have split the tournament to 3 days and to have the final at Full Sail. I don't know. I just feel like
Bola's 3 days? Come on. Bola's 3 days? Why not? Fuck it. Do it. You know? you have William Regal going to be at Bola in September scouting talent anyway. You might as well have just done it the exact same way they do it.
Yeah, because, like, I'd say split it into 3 days because, like, some of those girls wrestled 3 times in one night, in night two. You know what I'm saying? Which is wild.
Man, that's
like,
nuts.
If you were split into 3 days, you could have had the first whole first round the first night and, like, the second round, either the second round and the quarterfinals or just the second round the second night and then quarterfinals and semifinals the third night. So, like, you know, the most you're working is twice. But, you know, it was wild. Like, Candice LeRae worked 2 matches in a row.
Whoa, really? Holy shit.
Yeah, like, just like there was a quick break. But, like, yeah, 2 matches in a row. Like,
that seems unnecessary.
Yeah, you know, so it was like, it could have been split. We could have had the final there. And, like, we wouldn't have to worry about, like, oh, is the crowd going to be hot? Like,
not, yeah, like, no, hey, no. You're, for the final. You're right, though. I mean, that's exactly it. You can't be more emotionally invested in a final than you could be if you were there watching the entire tournament. Like, that's another, I'm seeing this more and more from your perspective, and I don't like it. I don't like it that they did that. I think that they should have just done it that night. So now that I kind of chew on this, I kind of agree with you. You never know what you're going to get out of that Las Vegas crowd. That could really be a fucking stale crowd, and, you know, it could just kind of ruin your night. Whereas, like you said, the Full Sail crowd's already super knowledgeable and super hype. You know, you add in the fact that they already got to see the rest of the tournament and then they get to see the final, and they would have blown the roof off the place.
Yeah, because, like, I'll tell you, man, they were ready to boo one person the hell out, one person that's in the final, and cheer the hell out of the other person that was in the final.
And now that dynamic, but that dynamic is going to completely change when we get to the Las Vegas, because it's almost
exactly
going to be, I know where you're going with it, and I know that one person is going to have, like, essentially somewhat of a home field advantage in Las Vegas, and that's like, that, I don't like all that, but I'm not going to give anything else away. I'm going to wrap this up because we are dangerously close, and we still don't know what the final is, and that's awesome. I'm glad you didn't get to see it, because I would have been super jealous, and now I get to find out with you at the same time. So, very lucky with that. But Mark, thank you, man. I hope you enjoyed it. Sounds like you had a great time.
Amazing time.
And I'm, again, super jealous about that. I don't know what else to say other than thank you guys so much for listening. This was episode, I believe, 47, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a long chat, and all I'm thinking about is now who's going to win this tournament. Mark, you can get Mark on Twitter. You can get me on Twitter.
Yep.
We're always on there. Mark's even on there when you're sleeping. When you're sleeping,
I am.
Mark's working and tweeting. That's what he's doing. And there's nobody up. He's the only
person
on Twitter.
I'm working, tweeting, and jamming to music I probably shouldn't be jamming to at 2 or 3 in the morning.
But you can get him on Twitter at AnsoniSan. It is AnsoniSan. Right? Did I get that? All right.
Yep.
You can get me on Twitter at @Cap_Caveman with a K. But as always, all roads lead to @TheSteelCage. Send me an email to Derek@TheSteelCage.com. You can send me an email about anything. If you have any questions for Mark and I, if you have show ideas, if you literally want to tell me to go fuck myself because your name is Ryback and you're mad that I said all the things I said, bring it. You can get one of our t-shirts because they are the king, potentially queen, of soft style, depending on where you're coming from. We do have some lovely ladies cuts, and they are super soft. You can get those at thesteelcageshop.com. And aside from that, I think that we're all through.
Yeah.
And on behalf of Mark, on behalf of Tony Storm, on behalf of Jazzy Gabbert, on behalf of Dakota Kai, and specifically on behalf of Kyrie, but on behalf of myself, this week's meeting is adjourned.
Fuck you, Ryback.